Thank you, Ian Ozan. 908, somebody texted in. We're talking about John Kennedy doing better than as serious as four strokes and a heart attack. Somebody texted in and said, as serious as anybody trying to get between me and the first bite of a Parkway Bakery shrimp po' boy. That's serious stuff right there. You don't want to get between me and that either, as long as you dress it with butter and ketchup. That's the way I am. And a little bit of hot sauce.
Oh, no. Lettuce, tomato, and extra pickles.
Heathen,
with mayonnaise.
Out with you. Get out.
That's what fully dressed is. Lettuce, tomato, pickles, and mayonnaise.
Every time I went to Las Vegas and ordered a sandwich dressed, and they looked at me like,
versus what?
It's at Arby's of all places. What in the hell is wrong with you? Dressed. Dave Cohen, in case you don't know.
You want to add clothes on it?
Our news director, host of the highly rated and critically acclaimed early edition of WWL First News, joins us now to talk about yesterday and the inauguration that went on. It's certainly a historic day in the history of the city of New Orleans. One thing I'll say about Helena Moreno, and I'm just a dumb guy from the West Bank. I'm no Clancy Dubose, okay? But I think...
retired now.
Right. Whatever it is, she has it. Even with dealing with, and they had some technical snafus during the presentation. I'm not calling anybody out for that because there were some limitations as to who could get in the facility, when to rehearse what. It didn't go as smoothly as it perhaps could have, but even the fact that they were setting up the podium while she was speaking and she had the poise to point to her name on the podium as Helena Moreno mayor, I don't know what it is, but, and you can, this is not a news part, this is just an opinion part here, Dave, you can tell me what you think. I think her political future is very bright. I think she's got it all. She's got the poise of being a TV journalist, so she knows how to work the camera. I'm not saying this cynically. I'm just saying this observationally. She's an attractive woman. She's a very intelligent woman. She's personable. She's quick-witted. There's policy behind it. I think her future is pretty bright. Your thoughts on that?
Clearly, her background in television and public speaking has aided her greatly in her ability to be successful in politics.
Extremely comfortable.
And I think the failed congressional run was very important to her evolution in politics when she tried to make a huge leap in a short time and fell back and then decided she would step one rung at a time up the ladder. I think that was a learning experience for her, and I think that helped build that character that you're referencing, that it that you see. She's very comfortable in front of a crowd, very comfortable as part of a broadcast, and really has developed into someone who most people, when they hear her speak, can relate to her. Mm-hmm. She speaks to you.
That's a great point. That's
how you
exactly
want to be
right.
spoken to, rather than as a politician handing down decrees. She is more conversational and really seems to speak on a level that most people prefer to be addressed.
Not to look back, let's look forward, but you would never imagine Helena Moreno using a phrase like the city of New Orleans while you're addressing the city of New Orleans, because everybody knows that this is the city of New Orleans, right? So that I understand that fully. The other thing I noticed is that even the personal touches, like J.P. Morrell in his tennis shoes and those kind of things, it's done with a
the
smirk.
Joke she cracked.
Yeah. Right. And it's all innocent. And it's just, and J.P. Morrell laughed at it. And it just, all in all, give me your thoughts about the inauguration. You were there.
Yeah. And it was unlike any inauguration I've ever been a part of. And I've been to many mayoral, many gubernatorial, and other inaugural events, covered presidential inaugurations, never been at one, but been the voice of them here on WWL. And this was, and I said on the air yesterday with Newell, we went from an inaugural ceremony to an inaugural concert. Mm-hmm. And everyone embraced it. You know, I have never heard of a politician commissioning a song for their inauguration before. And it worked. And it was that the crowd was immediately immersed into it and bought into it and was a part of it. And it was kind of funny, and we didn't really get into this during the broadcast, but right after she finished her inaugural address, a lot of people who thought they would beat the crowd got up and left.
Oh, they missed half the show.
They came back.
Did they?
Okay. Yeah, because they realized as they were leaving and walking through the lobby area that something very big was going on because the rest of the people weren't following them out. So many of them turned around and came back. Some of them did miss it because they, at a normal inauguration, the crescendo is the inaugural address. The incoming individual gives their address, there's raucous applause, and everybody leaves. Not yesterday. There was an entire concert, and Helena Moreno up on stage dancing and smiling and embracing and then inviting the city council to come and dance on stage with her. This was a different kind of an event, which seemed appropriate for the different kind of mayor she intends to be and the different kind of city she wants New Orleans to now become.
We have an open invitation for her to come in where I can go up close and personal with her. I could spend 2 hours talking to her, just hearing her story. We got to see her parents yesterday. We'd not seen her parents before. Her husband, we've not known a lot about her husband before. And that's not that, you know, that's not a negative thing at all. It's just the way they've chosen to live their lives, and that's fine.
Yeah, he chooses to live his life out of the spotlight while she lives it fully embraced in the spotlight. And that works for them.
And that's, Lord knows, God bless him. That's fine. Tell me about the speech itself, the inaugural message itself, compared to other inaugural messages that you've heard.
It was brief in comparison, and it was less about specific initiatives and goals. Most politicians, and specifically mayors in New Orleans during their inaugural address, lay out very specific goals and plans that they have of things that they're going to immediately want to accomplish. Helena Moreno chose to make it more about the overarching theme of the next 4 years, to make it more about the faith, hope, and love, to make it more emotional and ethereal and not specifically saying, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, but I'm going to bring new, different, and better. And that was the message that resonated, and I think it worked pretty well. She even had a little call and response with the audience mm-hmm. where she wanted them to be all in for New Orleans and wanted them to affirm, because all of the movers and shakers, all of the officials, everybody who on the upper levels will be a part of creating the change and the new city that she wants was sitting in those seats. Those 3,200 or so people are going to be crucial if she's going to be successful in doing what she wants. And she had the wherewithal to call upon them right there and then to commit to being a part of what she's trying to do.
Go on a record, so to speak. I was busy. The grand dogs are in town, so I was busy with these idiots yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see the grand dogs.
I heard you.
Okay, dogs, just to be clear. With these idiots pulling a rope, whatever they were doing, and trying to separate them. So I didn't see the national news. Did it receive much national play or not?
It did. The national message was a little different than the local message. Instead of being focused on the hope and change, it was more on the newness and the specific fact that the city has its first Hispanic mayor ever. But I didn't see a lot, and I didn't consume a lot of the national media yesterday because we were so immersed in it locally. So I don't know that I can really answer your question fully, but what I did see and hear was good coverage. It was all positive. It was in a positive light, but it was different than what the message was locally.
And the big story in the room, and I can't ignore it, Kamala Harris appearing on stage and speaking. How was that received in the room as far as you could tell? Was anybody surprised by this? Did the feeling, the atmosphere change, et cetera?
It did a little. There was mixed reaction. You could tell some people were unhappily surprised. Mm-hmm. Because there had been a theme throughout of inclusiveness, togetherness, unity, and any way you slice it, Kamala Harris is a polarizing, divisive figure.
She's a line in the sand, whether you like it or you don't. She is a line in the sand. Would you not agree?
Well, and she had to be. She was running against Donald Trump for president of the United States, and it became a very divisive, polarizing race. So she was the antithesis of Donald Trump during the campaign, and she was the far left to his far right. And so I think, and I've talked to a few analysts who believe that that was the only thing that happened during the inaugural celebration that did not bring people together. The music brought everyone together. The bipartisan presentations on stage brought everyone together. The multi-faith blessings brought everyone together. There was this coming together and sense of unity in a shared goal for the city of New Orleans. And that message was, to your earlier point, not only for the city and not only for the region and the state, but that was intended to be national and international. Mm-hmm. It was intended to send a message around the world and across the country that New Orleans is welcoming, open for business, wants expatriates to return. And in fact, Mayor Moreno even specifically called on people who have moved away or relocated their businesses to come back now because of these changes. But I think that the choice of Kamala Harris, and we could feel it in the room, and we've seen it on social media, on comments, on text streams. Everywhere you look, there are folks who were disappointed, upset, angered by that decision, but there's others who loved it. The far left in the audience thought it was great. You know, here you have the only kind of visible head of the Democratic Party as it exists right now. We don't know what her future holds for Harris, if she's going to be in that number again or not. But that was the only thing of the entire event that was not about coming together. It was polarizing.
The only thing I thought is, from a political standpoint, you got to be careful what political corner you paint yourself into. Because you could either feel betrayed or you could feel, okay, she is a Democrat and she is what she is, what she proposes to be, and never proclaimed to be anything different. So you got to be careful before you rail about this and then support this. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't fit into my Venn diagram here, right?
And clearly there was a conversation between Moreno and Harris about what would be said, because Harris did not say anything terribly divisive. Mm-hmm. She praised Moreno not for her politics, but for her hard work. She praised Moreno not for being a Democrat, but for being a person of the people. She praised her as an individual, not as a political figure. And I think that was something that Moreno's campaign, her transition team, had to have clearly talked about with Harris's folks who were helping prepare her comments, that we don't want this to become a far left commentary. We just want you to be there as a national figure, as a friend of Moreno's, there to praise her and support her.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the other thing that stuck out to me was that that was the only moment that wasn't purple, gold, and green.
I think you're right.
Because everything else was local, local, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. And then all of a sudden, this Kamala Harris came in. It's like, well, wait, this is not
New Orleans. Are we red and blue now? Or
That's exactly right, yeah. All right, let me take a break. We'll talk about the executive orders that Mayor Moreno signed yesterday. Dave Cohen's our guest, our news director. Got any questions or comments, text them in to 504-260-1870. They're pouring in, and we'll read some of them if we have a chance when we return on WWL. All right, 9:28, busy hour. We're going to talk to Simone Malaz in a minute, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta, about some public meetings on the Coastal Protection Restoration Authority's annual plan going on this week. Then we'll talk to Dane Cialino about the Supreme Court hearing arguments in that huge case about coastal damages in Louisiana. A couple of minutes left with Dave Cohen, our news director, as we recap the inauguration yesterday. Some executive orders that were signed by Mayor Moreno and a big press conference today, I think.
Yes, building on the amazing optimism that really the vast majority of people left the Sanger with yesterday, she is jumping right into action. Everything we just talked about that happened at the inauguration, I'm telling you, people were hugging, kissing, high-fiving, and really, really feeling good as they left there. Folks from both sides of the aisle about the future of New Orleans. Today, she's taking action on one of the executive orders she signed yesterday for the Lights on Street Stabilization Initiative. What this is she and the district attorney, the police chief, and others will get together, and they are going to vow to commit to this new plan to get all street lights on and darken the corners and the streets that have been left without lights for years and years, some since Hurricane Katrina, and get all of the traffic signals working with the message that this will improve public safety by making the city brighter and sending a message, and it'll improve overall quality of life.
Thank you, Dave Cohen. Appreciate it, as always. Something else to look at, maybe street signs, because we're still missing street signs from Katrina, which is hard to believe, but we are.